A few moments in studio here to talk about the upcoming Matrix Midland Festival, the annual event that is presented through Center for the Arts in Midland. Happy to be joined in studio by Brian Howe and Dexter Brigham. Good to have both of you here. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Who wants to give us the little bit of a thumbnail sketch as to how long this event has been going on, if there's been a big evolutionary shift in it, or just some of that background history that kind of catches us up to date before we talk about some of the highlights of this upcoming 2019 Fest?
Well, so Matrix Midland is now entering, I think this year is the 42nd festival for Matrix Midland. It started back in, what would that be, 67, I think was the first year of the festival. And it was started by some civic-minded folks who were interested in bringing in kind of national, like kind of the real movers and shakers of ideas. Yeah, I think the original founders of the festival wanted to bring passionate people, the best in their field, people that brought inspiring ideas to Midland. I think in the first season, we had Buckminster Fuller was one of the presenters, and I think we actually performed Aaron Copland's The Tenderland with Aaron Copland conducting the symphony. So it started off, it's always been a very ambitious festival. And I think that core value of inspiring people and wanting to explore ideas is something that hasn't changed at all in 42 years. I think when we sit down with our with the folks who are now members of the Matrix Advisory Council, and as Brian and I work through the process of putting together the festival each year with them, that a lot of our conversation is always centered around the questions they're asking us are always, is this person, you know, doing something new and innovative? Are they the absolute best in their field? Are they bringing a new idea to the table that's never been done before? What will that bring? What will that bring to our audiences? And so it's a really interesting kind of paradigm through which to kind of view presenting and developing a season. And it's been a really exciting process to put together this year's festival.
Is it something then different, and if so, what way than what you would do in a typical season? What do you think sets this apart from the wide variety of programming that comes? Because there are music events and there are other things that people would say Center for the Arts does that. But how, other than you get this nice, compact kind of package season with all of these events in a shorter span of time than a whole season, how would you say this is set apart from a typical scope of a year?
I would say that it's the topics of the festival are a little bit closer to home. One of the major events of this year's festival is we have a drone and robotics festival. And that came about through a conversation that we were having with some of our folks who are involved, who work for Dow Chemical Company. And they were talking about how the use of drones has just absolutely shifted and absolutely changed the way that Dow Chemical works in terms of safety, in terms of just industrial applications, commercial applications. And we were talking about how then we see the use of drones in, you know, with Amazon and all of that stuff that's coming down the pipe. And then we also have the drones just kind of coming into our lives and people owning their own private drones. And so in terms of drones and robotics, that's something that we are all dealing with and we're all curious about. And so, okay, how can we bring a group of people together who are bringing new ideas and new energy and kind of bringing those emerging technologies to the market? And let's bring them all to one place so that then people who are curious, interested in learning more about these things can come and experience those. They can see the vendors, they can see the actual technology at work itself.
Part of that also, to what Dexter was saying, is learning. The educational aspects of some of the festival are really critical to its core, such as not only the drone festival, but, for example, Michelle Gielen, who is the author on Broadcasting Happiness. It's an opportunity to really listen and speak with one of the thought leaders in the realm of positive psychology. So, learning as well as bringing the community together to, you know, uplift each individual human spirit.
What are some of the challenges in pulling together a schedule? I would imagine there would be a time when you have something that you really want to do, and it would go great with this, but you can't get these two synced in the same season. So do we put this on to another season, hold this here, move this piece there? How long does that process take?
You just described the entire process.
Well, that's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we deal with that in our work on a daily basis, not just limited to the festival. But the festival does certainly bring a different opportunity, being so concentrated within a period of time. We also acknowledge that, you know, people have different options nowadays. They have Netflix, of course, that everybody refers to, movie theaters, other venues, and other events in their daily life that they have to attend to.
Does that make it more of a challenge then to find something that is even more cutting edge, more unique, more sometimes even, if I can use the phrase, out there, to try and make sure, because everybody is distracted by everything, and people with children are involved in at least 1,001 activities and so forth, to try to capture that audience and spark their imagination, encouraging them to come out?
Absolutely. But what we also find is that if somebody is interested enough in something, they're going to do what they can to make it. That certainly excludes certain people, given on their busyness of their daily lives. But one of the most popular events right now is Captain Scott Kelly, who is constantly in the news and is just a really intriguing figure in our current.
Yeah, how long in the planning to make sure that whole itinerary could get secured? I would imagine that wasn't one or two phone calls. That probably took a little bit of work behind the scenes.
It did. Actually, that really brings up a good different point, in that this one is in partnership with the American Chemical Society Central Regional Meeting. So we've been working on that for over a year and securing different events that would coincide with their conference to provide the public with some interesting and relatable figures in the community of science.
Are those partnerships becoming more of sort of a hallmark of what you're doing, finding the ways where you can bring other organizations either within the immediate Midland or mid-Michigan area and being able to bring some resources together? Is that becoming a more kind of a popular way to go down that cooperative line?
I'd say it certainly is, but it's also a main focus of the Midland Center for the Arts in general. One of the ways that you bring in audiences is to partner with organizations that have like-minded goals and interest, and we're seeing it become more and more effective with different projects across various scales.
I would say that the all projects like this are successful when you connect with people. I mean, ultimately, when we're looking at considering one event or another in terms of are they going to be a part of the lineup, I think we think less about whether or not we're competing with Netflix and more about are we connecting with the individuals? Is what this thing that we're going to bring into this community, does it matter to people? Is it going to be, is it going to elicit an emotional reaction? Because if it's relevant, if it's, something that they care about, the audience will be there.
Is there ever an idea of trying, and logistics, I'm sure, can make this tougher to do, but sort of a flow. I think of interviews that we've had, Dexter, talking to other programmers about the idea of conceptualizing an individual program. Can you ever sort of see a flow and a theme that sort of overrides an entire series of events like this?
We constantly are looking at that. Sometimes as we're looking at different things, certain themes emerge. and other times they don't really. You know, I think that which is what makes the core, like those core values that we were talking about of Matrix, so much more important, because it's so easy to, you know, when you're starting with an empty page, to say, oh, we're going to do this because we like it, and this one over here looks fun, and you kind of piecemeal something together, and you end up with a hodgepodge that isn't really connected thematically, or, you know, so to actually come into to actually be able to take each one of those things and hold it up to the light and say, you know, does this fit what we're trying to accomplish with Matrix? You know, is it inspiring? Is it uplifting? Is it bringing the community together? Is it a new and interesting idea? That it helps. That helps to really give us something where in this season we have an emerging all-female country band as part of the lineup, and we have an astronaut and a drone and robotics festival and a Broadway star. So the festival itself is very eclectic, but the values and the kind of goals behind each one of those individual pieces is ultimately the same.
Dexter Brigham and Brian Howe are both with Midland Center for the Arts. We're talking about the upcoming Matrix Midland Festival in 2019. Has any type of program or an individual performer, if we look back over the history of the event, been one that has especially had a lot of wide audience appeal that you've tried to bring back, either a similar program or as they say, by popular demand, artists that have returned for some kind of performance type program in the festival that you know of people that have been, you know, brought back again because they were so well received?
Well, no, last year we actually we just had Diana Krall return to the festival, and she had joined us for the festival earlier in her career, so it was good to have her back on our stage again. One of the things that the festival has done pretty frequently over the years is be able to grab young artists right on the upswing of their career. So we're able to look back and say, wow, we had Michael Bublé perform with us. We had Sutton Foster. We had
Norah Jones.
Sorry, yeah, Norah Jones. Right, Norah Jones performed at the festival, and but it was right before they broke and became these big kind of superstars. And so we like to pride ourselves on our ability to kind of spot up and coming talent, and so you can kind of see it at the festival before the ticket price goes up too high.
And then you can say, we knew them when, right?
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
If people want to know more and they want to consult sort of an overall listing, obviously it's got to be a website that would have all the particular dates, times, prices for the events and so forth. What's that best resource for them to go to?
The website is midlandcenter.org /MXFest.
And are tickets in all individual? Are there things where you can, are they ever divided into any sort of a series of one, two, or three events that you could buy together, or a season pass, as it were? Or what sorts of options are there?
So we do have a festival pass that is available that does have a discount if you would like to purchase that for the entire series of events. However, the other tickets are also available individually, and all of them are on sale right now.
And this all kicks off when?
June 3rd.
And runs in total till?
June 16th.
Lots of things happening over that nice short stretch of time. Matrix Midland 2019. So other than annoying people like me that will stop one of you in the store and say, I've got a great idea, you should do this, how many suggestions do you get from folks in the area that will come up to you that have been to events in the past and say, this is the next best thing, this is a surefire, can't miss, or would I be the only annoying person like that would come up and have suggestions that way to you? How many assistants, quote-unquote, do you get in the planning committee stage?
Well, I'd say it's a lot less annoying than you'd think. When somebody
on who says it, right?
Well, for the most part, when somebody comes up and makes a suggestion, it's going to be something that I haven't thought of. So it just helps me think of something differently, and because there's a lot of different. I have my own musical tastes, or I have my own just the different type of entertainment that I consume. but I'm not programming for me. I'm programming for an entire community. So it's actually really helpful to hear from people about what things they like, what music, what types of music, what musicians are they listening to, so that when I, you know, when we're talking to different agents and we're looking at rosters, that we actually are, you know, are saying, oh, you know, I know that there's a population in Midland or in the Great Lakes Bay region who would be interested in this style of music or this particular artist.
So you heard that straight from his mouth. All suggestions should go to
right. All he's going to forward me every email that he gets with a suggestion from now on out.
No, he's absolutely
Dexter driving down the road. His license plate is, and if you want to stop him, feel free to.
Yeah, we do certainly get different suggestions through various means, whether it's by word of mouth, phone calls, inquiries, even emails through our website, and you know we certainly do take those and try to vet them and try to find out if we can learn more about the artist or the company and see if it's feasible for us.
What's I'm always accepting new CDs. I don't want to drop off any music. I'm always looking for new music to listen to.
So again, stop him whenever you see him in public. It's a welcome invitation. Is there anything that has outside of the things that either of you find of particular interest, and you brought up a good point, you're programming to the whole community. What's been sort of the aha or wow moment in the past couple of years of attending a program that was outside of things that maybe you were familiar with that you took away a particular new interest in something or someone's art or whatever the case may be? What would be sort of that new discovery sort of thing that's hit either one of you of late?
Well, I guess I'll go first. I would say one thing that I thought was really interesting was last year we had the personal chef to Queen Elizabeth. He joined us, and we did this wonderful really intimate meal where he came in and he prepared a meal, and while he was making this meal for our patrons, he was telling stories about his time with Princess Diana and Queen Elizabeth and just what it was like to cook for all, you know, this kind of give us this wonderful insight into this world. And it was a just beautiful and elegant and to work with the chef on the menu and to create this very, this royal dinner, this royal chef, you know, in terms of just producing it, coming up, you know, working with him on the menu and the dishware. It was just fascinating, and I think that also, and I think the experience of going through that opened up that type of experience for us, and so we have another installment of that in kind of that type of event coming up this year with Scott Sullivan at the Illusionist Table, where we're doing these intimate. We have 8 seatings scheduled of this intimate. Only 24 people are allowed at any one of these dinners. The entire thing is done by candlelight. And Scott Sullivan is a magician and mentalist who uses food and observation to weave this just haunting and beautiful and just breathtaking evening of surprise and magic and mystery over the course of the entire evening. It's fascinating. And I think the reason that we're kind of doing this is that we started kind of down that path the year before. What about you, Brian?
I think you're definitely right on point. I think the big aha moment for me, and I've only been in this area for about 2.5 years, is the importance of that storytelling. And we don't have specifically lots of direct ways that we have storytelling opportunities. But, you know, obviously there are stories told through music, through theater, through dance. But one of the things that we're also exploring as an organization is actually spoken word. And how do we help the community also share their stories as well as listen to stories of others? And this becomes particularly important as we approach our 50th anniversary in 2020 and 2021.
June 3rd through the 16th, Matrix Midland 2019, midlandcenter.org for all of the information about the programs, the times, the ticket prices, the festival pass, all of the information that you would need. I guess, Brian and Dexter, you might have just a few more details to take care of before June 3rd hits, but we want to take this moment certainly to thank both of you for taking some time to come in and share it all with us, and good luck as it draws closer and kicks off here in just a few weeks.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.